Morning, everyone. I was going to wait for the organ to fade slowly, but we'll crack on. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to worship this morning. It's really good to see you all here on this lovely sunny day. What a nice day, isn't it? I had to scrape the ice off the window for the first time this morning. I'm afraid I'm not Gillian. You may or may not have realised this isn't Gillian Belford. I'm sorry. Gillian was due to be taking our service this morning, taking a healing service. Gillian is quite unwell at the moment. She's been suffering from quite severe migraines and headaches. And fortunately, the migraines have now started to ease, which is good. But she's still on quite a heavy dose of steroids. So please do continue to remember Gillian in her prayers. I phoned her this morning and she said, tell everybody, she said, just every little helps. So even if it's a little prayer that just says, please pray for Gillian, that's good enough. So we continue to lift Gillian. So I'm afraid you've got me this morning. Let's begin with some words of praise from Psalm 145. It says this, I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. So let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate and filled with unfailing love. All your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. I'm not sure whether you class yourselves as faithful followers, but it does say that everything will praise the Lord. So let's do that. Let's give God praise for all his glory and wonder. And the worship band will lead us. Thank you, Greg.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus died, bled, and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down on Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by a heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, our God. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
gladdest days we will sing your praise, O Lord, our God. For, Lord, you have chosen each one of us. Lord, we can accept the invitation to be child of God, to be adopted into your family, to be your sons and daughters. Lord, you just want to have that relationship with each one of us. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have indeed trampled death. That, Lord, the angels roar for you. And the angels celebrate every time one of us turns to you and says, Lord, we want to be a member of your family. And so, Lord, as we continue to praise your name, when we continue to say of the King that would welcome me, that I was lost, but he brought me in, that his grace runs deep, Lord, your grace knows no bounds. There's nothing that we can do that will separate us from your grace. But, Lord, we accept that we must turn from sin and accept you as Lord and Savior in our lives to bring about that certainty and assurance of eternal life with you. Lord, forgive us for all that we have done that has grieved you. Lord, we praise you for the free accepting that you have of us. May we accept your grace. May we accept your blessing and your healing this morning. Amen. We'll continue in worship.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Oh, the sun sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. The sun sets free. Is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. The sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Say I am who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes I am. In my Father's house there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am.
Amen. Thank you. Nice to see Naomi on the cello. Thank you, Naomi, for sharing with us. There is something incredible happening in, is it 2 weeks or 3 weeks' time? Just under three weeks' time, which people have been working incredibly hard and doing lots of things to be ready for this occasion. And I've invited Michael just to come and share a little bit about what's going on. Michael.
A little teaser for you for our carols by candlelight. I want to say that our choir is prepared. It is the one of the first choirs that I had that really have a good quality sound, and I'm really pleased with all the dedication that everybody has participated in. But what I want to encourage you is, now that the choir has done their part, I have to encourage you to do your part. And your part is to compel and be messengers of good news, just like the angels. So I know that sometimes it can be challenging to invite your neighbors to church. Some of us are not that outgoing, and sometimes we don't know how they would feel, especially if they're a person of no faith at all. And what I want to encourage you is, this is a type of medium that we can use to actually get people in a non-threatening way, that they can just enjoy a beautiful Christmas celebration that has a very good and deep message of love and faith and hope to people that are there in attendance. So I'd just like to encourage you that it'll be the Saturday, the 11th, and Sunday, the 12th. And please come out at 7 p.m. You can come both nights if you like. We just want to bulk this place out, fill it up with lots of warm bodies. And not only do the choir sing, but also the congregation will participate in the carols, just like a traditional carol service. Thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you then.
So 11th and 12th of December. I've been in, just sat at the back at one or two of the rehearsals, and it has made me cry. Not cry because I'm thinking, oh no, what's going to happen? Cry because it's just emotionally so good. So do come along if you can and encourage others to do. All the kids are going to be leaving us in a minute, and you're going to be going to your own different activities if you haven't already. But let me just say a prayer before you go. Father, we just thank you for the good news that we've come to declare this morning, that you are a good, good God and a God of love and grace. And we are your children, and that's what we've been singing about, and that's what we celebrate as we look forward to Advent starting next week and then on to Christmas, about the arrival of Jesus to reconcile us to that amazing relationship that we enjoy with you. So Lord, be with us now in all that we do this morning. Bless us in wherever we're staying, in this particular room, or whether we're going to worship and do other things. Lord, wherever we are this morning, in this place, or whether we're watching online, bless us now. And may we know your presence with us here today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay. It's time for us to sing again now. We're going to sing a hymn, and it's number 479 if you are choosing to follow from your hymn books. All the words, of course, will be up here. The King of Love, my Shepherd is. This is a wonderful hymn that celebrates the love of God based on Psalm 23. So let's stand as we're able as we sing. And whilst we're singing this hymn, we will also take up our offering, which will be for the work of God in this place. So we'll take that up while we sing the hymn. 479. Thank you. Dear Lord, we do thank you for all of your gifts to us. The King of love, my shepherd is, your goodness faileth never. Thank you, God, for all you bless us with. And now we offer you this money and we pray that you would use it so that we in this church, in this place, can declare your love and your goodness to the community around us, and so that we might grow in our love and experience of you. Lord, bless it, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to have a couple of Bible readings now, which I think Heather is, am I right? Yes. Yay! Heather is, I was hoping that would be the case. Heather is going to come and share with us. I hope all my equipment doesn't just log out. While you're reading, I might just go and get a cloth because I've just managed to knock my entire glass of water over all the electrical stuff down here while we're doing so. It'll be fine. Sorry. You carry on. Sorry, Heather. Take that as well.
The first reading is from Psalm 42 and beginning to read at verse 1. And it's page 567 in the Church Bibles. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the stream of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And now from Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, and beginning to read at verse 12. And that is on 668 in the Church Bibles. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What is twisted cannot be straightened. What is lacking cannot be counted. I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Amen.
Thank you, Heather. Excuse me. Just chat amongst yourselves for a second. Well, it'll be all right. Probably a couple of strange readings you might think for us to have this morning. But I was thinking about this. I was thinking about what your everyday experience of being a Christian must be like. And I bet it's like this. I bet you all wake up every morning and just delight that this is a new day with God. I bet what you all do is immerse yourself in prayer and Bible study and singing a hymn or a worship playlist. That's before you even get out of bed, isn't it? And then, enriched and full of the Holy Spirit, you go skipping through your day as if hand in hand with the Lord himself. Every moment is like sitting before God on his throne as you are lost in wonder, praise and never-ending joy. Well, if that is you this morning, and I'm afraid this sermon is not going to apply very much to you, and I suggest what you do is pop off and polish your halo for the next 20 minutes or so and come back and join us later. Because for many of us, I believe that life is just not like that. Because the truth is, for lots of us, is that we feel far away from God. We're having this conversation this morning because more and more I'm recognizing that I see people, friends, my own family, people in this church who are disenfranchised with God, fed up with church, bored with religion, and who feel divorced from any kind of spiritual connection with a God who seems more and more distant. J.K. Rowling wrote in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, all he felt as he sat looking out at the darkness, of which his wand lit only a tiny part, was worry about what would happen next. It was as though he had been hurtling toward this point for weeks, months, even for years, and now he had come to an abrupt halt, run out of road. Maybe that's you today. Run out of road. You've been heading this way for a long time. And it's in those times that coming to church actually makes it worse, doesn't it? I'm surprised that you're even here. Because then you get surrounded by all of these Christians who seem to have taken some kind of spiritual happy pill. And then we end up feeling worse than we did before we came in. Those things that we once took for granted, we question. Everything gets deconstructed. Nothing makes sense anymore. Nothing delights or excites or thrills. It all seems so empty. What was once bright and shiny and wonderful now so often seems dull and dry and just plain hard work. And so we drift away from any encounter with God that we once felt. And we often feel guilty about it, and that makes us feel even worse and more alienated. And so in time we'll stop coming to church, we'll stop praying, stop pretending that we've got a faith. Many already have. Perhaps, you know, it's not those that are sitting here or watching online that I need to be sharing this with this morning. It's those not here, but I wanted to share this with you before we end up the same way. In times like these, what on earth is going on? What's happening to us? Where is God? And what can we do about it? Now, this morning, we can't possibly hope to answer all of these questions or find some quick fix scripture or prayer that will make everything right. But perhaps today we can start to think about these things, to be honest about them, to get these feelings out in the open and acknowledge that we don't all live in some kind of paradise on earth. Perhaps it's time to admit that sometimes it's really difficult being a Christian. And at the outset, I want to say this. If that's how you find yourself feeling today, then that's okay. You're not alone. In fact, there are millions of you out there. I've been there myself many, many times. This is quite normal. This is real life. Even Mother Teresa, that amazing example of Christian love, revealed that for vast parts of her life, she felt no presence of God whatsoever. She once wrote this, "Where is my faith? Even deep down there is nothing but emptiness and darkness." And she also confided, "I feel that terrible pain of loss, of God not wanting me, of God not really existing." So if even Mother Teresa felt like that sometimes, it's no surprise that we do too. There are many reasons why we might feel far away from God so much of the time, and why, in the words of the writer from Ecclesiastes, it all seems so meaningless. It might be that all those things that we learned as a child just don't ring true anymore. All our constructs are fading away. It could be that we've experienced grief or tragedy, and that's made us question this God we once believed in. Perhaps it's just that you're worn out and tired. You've been fighting the good fight for years. Onward, Christian soldiers, and all of that. But you're tired of fighting and working and giving every ounce of your energy to a cause you don't even know that you believe in anymore. Could be any number of things. Today, I want to focus on just two possible causes, because those are places that I've been to. And if those are places that I've been to, and I can share them with you honestly about where I've been, then maybe they're places where you might find yourself too. And the first thing is this. We start doubting that faith that we once believed. Some people say they never have doubts. Faith comes easy for them, they say. At least it has so far. But many, many of us do have doubts. And sometimes our doubts seem more powerful than our beliefs. We start mistrusting everything that we once believed about God. It all seemed so simple once upon a time. We were hungry to find out about this God that we'd been introduced to. We craved answers. We wanted assurance. And so we accepted everything that was taught to us and soaked it all up like a sponge. Everything was black and white. We built our faith around us like a fortress, and nothing could shake it. But the trouble is, that fortress of faith that you've built has turned into more like a prison in which you now feel entombed. It doesn't protect you anymore. It traps you. Or to change the imagery slightly, perhaps each brick in that fortress, each part that protected us, is falling away one brick at a time. What we spent years constructing is now deconstructing before us, and we feel exposed, vulnerable, with nowhere to run. Like playing Jenga, as one by one you remove those pieces and try to build even higher, eventually the whole thing comes crashing down. There are things that we can no longer figure out and we don't understand. Life brings us to the realization that actually we have no explanation, no sense of anything. We stand in all of the beauty and the agony of life, but understand nothing. We have so many questions for God, but the answers just don't cut it. And if that's how you feel this morning, then I want to reassure you that you're not alone. I've been in the same place. But if that is you, then where on earth do you go? Let me just offer you a couple of things that I've learnt from my own experience. Just maybe faith was never supposed to be a fortress or a Jenga tower. Maybe it was supposed to be more like a road that's led us into the unknown. And maybe your road has been all plain sailing, but perhaps you've also hit some bumpy bits or some blind corners where you can't see anymore. Perhaps we merely get to a stage in the road that's unfamiliar, where the easy black and white signs are not visible anymore. And if that's so, then it's all right. It's all part of the journey. When I was 12 years old, I was baptized and I was giving a verse, a Bible verse, which I've carried with me all through my life. And it says this, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. I'm 59 now and eventually it's dawned on me. I'm a slow learner. You see, there's a difference between doubting God and doubting your understanding of God. Just as there's a difference between trusting God and trusting your understanding of God. You see, I was never asked to trust my understanding of God or anybody else's understanding of God, but trust the God who is bigger than my understanding, beyond all my comprehension. And perhaps we can get to a point where we're able to doubt our understanding of God whilst simultaneously trusting God way beyond our understanding. Richard Rohr talks about the first and second half of life as a Christian. In the first half of our Christian life, he says that we build a container for our faith, this fortress that we've been talking about. But then as the bricks begin to tumble, we start deconstructing what we once held onto. And we're invited then to enter into the second part of life, where we realize that it's not the bricks we built that are the thing at all. The bricks were our understanding of God, but they weren't God. God hasn't gone anywhere. God can still be sought after and found and loved. The only thing that's gone now is our understanding of what was right or wrong or in or out, and it's raised a whole set of questions. But with those questions come new possibilities. The possibility of holding on to a greater reliance on a God who is way beyond all we once had boxed in and sewn up. Our doctrine might be shaky. Our theology is probably quite wobbly. Our beliefs can be dodgy. But God is beyond all of that. And the very fact that we can acknowledge this season of doubt means that we do somehow hope for something beyond it. It means we're not content with feeling this way. We want something better. So now is the time to be honest with God about where you are. Because if you're honest, you know deep down in the very core of your being that there is a God and that God is love and God is a good, good God. So it's time to stop trusting your broken understanding of God. That's all been shot through and dismembered. But to trust in the God beyond all your understanding. Perhaps doubt and faith are two sides of the same coin. Maybe our faith only grows stronger from having had doubts. Maybe we'll only find the real answers by dropping the ones that we did hold on to. In all your doubts, perhaps now is the time to stand, exposed and naked in the mystery and perplexity, and to put your trust in the one beyond all our understanding. So that's doubt. But then secondly, I want to talk to you about love. There's this passage, you probably know it, in Revelation 2 where John is writing to the church in Ephesus. And he says this, "You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you first had." Those people had toiled and worked and persevered in their faith. Does that sound familiar to you? And yet they'd lost their love of Christ. I get the feeling as I look around and as I chat to people and journey with people that there are many, many Christians who are not feeling the love anymore. Perhaps you're one of them. I've been married to Tracy for over 36 years now. She's not here, so I can talk about her. I remember in our early days, you know, spending hours getting ready to see her. I would walk the 3 miles or so to her house, and I'd try to knock on the door as casually as I could, but inside my heart would be thumping. I was so much in love, it hurt. Every time I saw her, I had butterflies in my stomach. To hear her voice or to touch her was incredible. It blew me away. And then to kiss her, wow. She used to wear a perfume called Poison. Do you remember it from the 1980s? Maybe you've still got it. I used to take that bottle of Poison and spray it on my handkerchief and on the seatbelt of my car, so wherever I went, I could always smell her with me. I still really love my wife. But to be honest with you, we don't get those times anymore. We've moved on, we've matured, we've got used to one another, we've got old together. But I guess I'm still very much in love. Because if we didn't have that, then what would be the point? Okay, so here's the thing that I reckon. I think that there are loads of Christians out there who have actually never ever known what it is to be in love with Jesus. You see, I'm not sure that we've lost our first love. It's not that God and you have just grown old like some married couple. No, I have a feeling that lots of us never really fell in love with God in the first place. I don't know how you became a Christian. Perhaps like me, you can't ever remember not being a Christian. Perhaps you started coming to church because that's what you had to do as a kid. Maybe your faith developed because of a fear of what would happen to you if you didn't believe. Perhaps it was built on principles of right and wrong. And just maybe it's never ever been about love. You know, God is a God of love, you know that. But your faith has actually been about a set of intellectual beliefs or a response to a holy and a righteous God who demands that you repent and get on track or face the consequences. But you know, as I've journeyed over 59 years with this God that I don't understand and can't possibly begin to work out, and as I've doubted and as I've wrestled with my faith, I've come to realize that at the heart of it, at the core of what I hold on to, is a relationship with a God who is head over heels in love with me. I've come to see that the Creator of heaven and earth loved me so much that he died to bring me home to him. I've been drawn to realize that despite whatever I do to upset him and leave him out of my life, he yearns to hold me and to love me and to pour out his affection on me every single minute of every day. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? It doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. But that's my God. And he loves you just the same. And he longs for you to fall in love with him too. And I would venture that God isn't so concerned about you shaping up and fitting in and getting it right and knowing the answers as he is with you knowing his love and receiving his love and returning his love. My faith, you see, when it comes down to it, is about only one thing. A relationship of love with the surest, most dependable lover there ever was. A lover who will never let you go down or let you go. Who will always be there for you and always love you no matter what. A lover who rejoices over you and delights in you and wants to smother you with his love over and over again. And just maybe the reason that you find your faith so hard, the reason why you're so tired of everything, the reason you've had enough, is that you never really knew that love in the first place. Not really. Only you can know if that's true. But the antidote, the remedy, it's so stupidly, absurdly, naively simple. Whatever you think your faith is about, forget it and make it about love. Only love. Don't make it about sense or rationale or understanding. Make it about love. Don't make it about duty or fear or habit. Those things will never sustain you. Make it about love. Open yourself up to that love. Let yourself go in that love. Surrender to that love. Know that love and know only that love. There's an old hymn that we're going to sing in a bit with these lyrics. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean. in all its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above. You see, it's all only ever been about love. It's love, and only in his love that life will make any sense, will your faith make any sense. There's another old chorus that says this: turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. So turn to him, look into his face, fall in love, walk in love, live in love. Doubt, many of us have been there. Don't try and overcome it, but trust in the one who loves you and yearns to hold you. And love, for your own sake, make love all it's ever about. My invitation for you is to receive and to know that love, and to abandon yourself to that love, and to walk in the light of that love today and always. Amen.
Let's do just that right now. Let's turn our eyes to Jesus. Let's spend just a moment noticing him, and noticing that he's noticing us, each one of us. Let's just take a moment to do just that. Turn our eyes to Jesus.
Suffered in my grave.
mercy, because he died for me, I have been redeemed.
There I find you in the mystery, in the great unknown where feet may fail.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in ocean sea, my faith will stand.
Stronger.
and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest.
No borders. Spirit, lead me where I just fall deeply in love with you. Spirit, lead me where love is enough. Lord, we will continue to have questions in life. We know that. We know that there will be times of doubt. We know that there will be times of feeling hollow or empty. But we know, Lord, that, Lord, when we turn to you, when we turn our eyes to Jesus, you fill that emptiness. And Lord, just sung, your grace abounds in deepest waters, and your sovereign hand, the hand of our great King, will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear may surround me, you have never failed and you won't start now. And Lord, when we say, where were you when we went through that? That really darkness, that real darkness and that real fear and that real loneliness. We know that you are there and we just didn't notice that you were. Help us to notice you much more, Lord. Help us to notice you much more, Lord Jesus. Help us to love you more.
After these prayers of intercession, we shall say the Lord's Prayer together. Prayer is an opportunity for us to quiet our minds and become present with the Creator of the universe. This morning, even though this is quite traditional, I'd like our prayer to be interactive, that we not fall in vain repetition, but that we respond in contemplative reverence and awe of the active work of the Holy Spirit on our behalf through the bidding of prayer. I'll end with each contemplation and prayerful bid with, Lord, have mercy. Please join in your response. Hear our prayers. Almighty and everlasting Creator of the universe, all-powerful and all-knowing, we lift our heavy hearts, our burdens, our concerns, our failings to you, and ask that you send your Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to grant us peace in troubled times. For those in loss, those in mental anguish, we ask that you calm and bring comfort. Give us the strength to stand strong in our faith and to support those around us. Those of faith, and especially those that may struggle to believe, shine through us in dark times that we may not weaken or lose hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the worldwide Christian church, especially those that may be worshiping today in places where it may be unsafe and illegal. We pray for those in the far reaches that may worship alone or are homebound or need to feel your presence at this very moment. We pray for the marginalized, those that might not look like or quite fit in, for the single mom or the primary caregiver with no support or help. Give courage and faith to all who hold the name of Jesus central to their lives. We remember our own Methodist churches. We pray for conferences synods, and other meetings faced with difficult decisions and sensitivity to reach all who may come into places of worship like ours, trying to discern the best way forward in the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray that your Spirit will lead our thoughts and prayers, and that ultimately your will be done. We pray for our ministers, administration, team leaders, and bless all who have influence on decisions, and we pray for guidance and wisdom as the church encounters both triumphs and challenges in doing your work today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for a world seemingly forever caught in violence and conflict. Through the media, we are witnessing to the recent terrorist attempt and raising of the national concern and continued vigilance. As we pray for peace in the hearts of those affected, especially do we pray for those who live in constant fear, not understanding how to get through life in constant change, upheaval, and uncertainty. Give us the wisdom to understand more about the root causes of conflicts and how they might best be resolved without further mistrust. So we pray for those forging stronger relationships between faith communities and for the world leaders, that they may be given insight and strength to continually strive for just societies in all regions of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all the lives that have been affected by the pandemic. We pray for those that have tired and are confused by rules, who have lost hope for a brighter future. We lift those affected by being able to access the necessary care to detect and assist in the recovery of life-threatening illnesses and disease. We pray for frontline staff and those attempting to maintain our national healthcare system to meet the rising demands. We pray for the anguish they suffer when they cannot keep up and feel that their best is never enough, always falling short of what they wish could be done or accomplished. We pray for those that are isolated with no one, and for those of us that cannot seem to shrug off the effects of having been isolated. May we return to a place of inner and outer peace with a new sense of normalcy, given way to never forget or take for granted the freedom and liberties that we all inherently possess. This is especially true for believers, as in you we live and move and have our being. May we be reminded that you are the only true peace in the midst of all personal storms and raging seas. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And so we think now of those in need in our own community, the homeless and the hungry and the elderly and the housebound, those in care homes, hospital, and hospice. We pray for the victims of violence and those that may have not escaped the control and power of others. May they find the strength and help to overcome their personal situations and find peace. And so we pray for all those who minister to so many different needs, both within the family, the churches, and from other professional and voluntary services. So let us share a moment of silence together as we bring before you those known only to ourselves, as we name them in our hearts and commit them to your loving care. Yes, Lord, those. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who face the pain of grief and loss of a loved one. Help us to support all those who mourn, both with our prayers and with practical help. May we remember not to be with them just in their time of need, but supporting and holding them up for months and years to come. Today we remember those who have served our country and lives that were forever changed by the loss of those that served. may we never forget. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A final prayer for ourselves. Loving God, who works for the good of those who love him, help us to remember that nothing in this world can separate us from the love of Christ, that you creatively made us, not one the same, individualistic and unique, even down to our very fingerprint. You created us for your pleasure, and we are to be mindful that your every good thought towards us and about us would outnumber the sands and the earth. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray with confidence as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Michael, for sharing with us in prayer. Just a couple of notices. We're just about done. To say there is a Lent course beginning, Churches Together, as well as putting on the Carols by Candlelight, on every Wednesday from this next Wednesday. We meet here at PMC to look at a book by Paula Gooder called The Meaning is in the Waiting. So we're going to be doing that for the next 4 weeks. So if you're able to come on a Wednesday evening, 7:30 here, that would be great to have you share with us. And then finally, just a reminder that we have a very important church council on Thursday night. That's not at 7:30 as usual, it's 7 o'clock. That will be here, and there's an invitation for all members to join us, all members of this church to join us for that meeting as we meet to consider some very important resolutions. Just one final thing from me. You will know, I'm sure most of you, that Michelle, our amazing administrator and office manager, was leaving us next week. She's got 1 week left, and then she's leaving us to pastors. She's not leaving the church. She's still absolutely, an amazing member of our family, but she will be leaving our employment to take up employment somewhere else. But it wouldn't be right for us not to say a massive thank you, and I wanted to use this opportunity within a church service to do that. So I wonder if Gareth could come up, and Michelle could pop up as well, just for a moment. Would you mind? She's been dreading this. How long has it been, Michelle? 9 years? 13 and a half years. Can you believe that? We see each other every day, so I can touch you. It's okay. Michelle, we're just, on the one hand, we're so desperately sorry and sad that you're leaving us. But on the other hand, it's a bit like a parent and its child grows up and then goes off somewhere else. On the one hand, you don't want to let them go, do you? But on the other hand, it's great to see you wanting to flourish and do something different. And we just want to send all our love and best wishes and prayers with you in what you do. We've got a couple of things, haven't we, Gareth, that I just wanted to give to you. You can open all of this later. There's just a few things from all of us as a circuit, not just PMC, because, of course, Michelle worked for the entire circuit. So there's some bits and pieces in there in a card. But I want to tell you about one of the things that's in there. I know they say never buy jewellery for a woman, don't they? But we did. And the reason we did, it's just a little necklace. And the reason we've done it is because it's got two things on it, okay? It's got a heart and it's got a cross. And the reason why I wanted you to have that was because I want you to know the cross is that wherever you go, whatever you do, God goes with you and journeys with you and loves you and holds you. And the heart is there to remind you that you have all of our hearts following you and with you and wishing you and praying every blessing on all you do. The rest of the stuff you can open later. And here's some flowers just to say. Should we give Michelle a big round of applause? And thank you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for Michelle. Thank you, God, for everything she means to all of us, but most of all, everything that she means to you. Thank you that she's one of those, as we all are, that we've been thinking about this morning, who you love and you delight in and rejoice over with singing. Thank you, Father, for all that Michelle has given in the life and service to this church and this circuit and all she will continue to give. And Lord, I just pray a real blessing on her now as she goes from our employment to take up employment elsewhere. Lord, will you go with her, journey with her. Be her strength, be her shield, be her protection, be her joy, and be her fullness of life. And bless her richly, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Bless you. You don't need to make a speech.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I'll see you next week. Thank you, Michelle. Bless you. We're going to sing our final hymn now. Sorry, this has been... Do you know, this is the problem. When they only give me a service on a Monday morning and say, Gillian, step down, do you mind doing this? And I'm away Wednesday, Thursday, and all I've got is 2 days to do it. I'm afraid I've not been very good at timing it. So you can beat me up and blame me completely 100%. But we are going to sing our final hymn because I love it. And then we'll go. It's not in the hymn book, so the words will be on here. And it's, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. So let's stand as we just sing this. It's only three verses. so, Lord, as we go from this place, may we know the deep, deep love of Jesus. And may we love you. May we know your love for us and live in the light of your love. And may your love reach beyond all our doubts and our tiredness and our anxieties and our perplexity. May your love be all we need. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.